Do you like watching movies? Snuggling up on your couch or settling back in the increasingly comfortable chairs at your local theater? Having your bowl of popcorn next to you along with a soft drink or other libation? Checking out the latest movie or perhaps watching an old favorite? A thoughtful classic like Dead Poets Society? The life-affirming wonder of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, or a quirky romance like the lesser-known Danny Deckchair. Just about any movie lover has his or her lists. Favorites, less than favorites, films that they could watch over and over, directors that they enjoy, actors that they follow. Today we're going to discuss a different set of movie lists. These movie lists will help you set the table, so to speak, for the upcoming year. We present these today in the hopes that 2018 could become your year at the movies. Welcome to the Nordonia Hills Branch Library Podcast on Nonfiction. Following my usual habit of extolling our collection here at the Akron-Summit County Public Library, today we're going to talk about movies, and our collection boasts a significant number of great movie books. It is by no means comprehensive. Very few libraries could claim that distinction as regards the subject of movies and movie making. I had the wonderful opportunity some years back to peruse some bookstores along Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and was floored at the number of different and eclectic movie books that were in existence that you just never hear about. Of course, being in the movie capital of the world, the local bookstores there tended to collect that subject matter, and it was extensive. I could have spent days in those bookstores. If you love movies, or films, or cinema, you could read from now until the end of time and still not touch every title or every book that has been written about movies and the people who make them. Some years ago, we discussed on the podcast the life and the career of Roger Ebert, the noted film critic. He alone is responsible for some dozen or more books on films and the movie industry. One book which I mentioned during that podcast, which I'll bring up again today in passing, is Ebert's Bigger Little Movie Glossary. It is not in our collection. I would urge you, if you are a true movie fan and have a sense of humor, to search that book out on the secondhand market. It is well worth the find and the read. Mr. Ebert was a film critic in Chicago, and obviously he watched a lot of movies. The authors of our three books today are all people who watch a lot of movies. They have committed their expertise and their observations to paper, and we as readers are the beneficiaries of such largesse. Our first book today is A Year of Movies, 365 Films to Watch on the Date They Happened, by Ivan Walters. If you're looking for a day-by-day guidebook on how to lay out a year of movies in some sort of a logical order, you might consider Mr. Walter's book. The book is laid out just like a calendar year. The first entry, January 1st. The last entry, December 31st. The movie for the beginning of the year is Rocky, Sylvester Stallone's 1976 film. This movie is listed on New Year's Day because the epic fight that takes place at the end of the film occurs on January 1st in the movie. The final entry at the end of the book, December 31st, is 1972's The Poseidon Adventure. This movie, which kicked off the 1970s disaster movie craze, portrays an ocean liner which capsizes on its final voyage. When does the rogue wave strike the ship and turn it over? Why, during the New Year's Eve party. There are a number of entries in this book which are obvious. February 2, the movie is, of course, Groundhog Day. On December 7th, it is Tora, 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 the 1970 film portraying the attack on Pearl Harbor. But Mr. Walter does not just grab the low-hanging fruit. He also pulls some really unique dates out of there to include in this calendar of movies. July 10th's movie is The Green Mile, Frank Darabont's adaptation of Stephen King's novel. And the reason that July 10th is included is because that is the date of one of the executions on The Green Mile. And the landmark comedy Animal House is included, being the entry for November 15th, the date of the probation hearing for the members of Delta Tau Chi, the Animal House of the title. Mr. Walters does make some missteps along the way. One that occurs to me as a reader was the November 4th entry for V for Vendetta. But these missteps are mere trivialities overall. If you're a movie fan, you will enjoy perusing this book, identifying some movie titles that may be of interest to you as a viewer, or perhaps learning a new piece of information about an old favorite of yours. There's a simple index in the back and a 1.5-page foreword, and that's about it. With 365 movies that the author covers, each of the entries pretty much stands on its own. Each entry gives the year of the movie, the genre, how long it runs, the director and the screenwriter, as well as the cast. As a way of organizing your 2018 movie year, this would be an interesting book to follow. Our second book is Peter Bogdanovich's Movie of the Week, 52 classic films for one full year. Now, to be clear, this book was written 18 years ago, so all the movies that are contained within were made in the 1900s, not the 2000s. If you're unfamiliar with the name Peter Bogdanovich, he is a Hollywood director, a notable Hollywood director, who has twice been nominated for Best Director Oscar. As an actor, he's also appeared in over 50 films. This book comes in at just under 200 pages, plus an index, a very slim little volume, easily browsable. The author lays out his movie year in the table of contents. 52 entries, listing the movie, the director, and the page number in which you'll find his review. Mr. Bogdanovich starts his movie year with An American in Paris and wraps it up the week of Christmas with The Shop Around the Corner. For movie fans, the titles of some of the big hitters jump off the page in the table of contents. Citizen Kane, Singing in the Rain, North by Northwest, Breakfast at Tiffany's. The strength of this book does not lie in the listing of titles for you to follow along. The strength of this book comes from Bogdanovich's writing and all the observations he makes along the way, chapter by chapter. Because he doesn't discuss just the movie. He discusses the time in which it was made, the directors, the other aspects of the filmmaking that went into this film or that film or this type of film. And on top of all of that, the real bonus, for each section, he includes other movies by this director, other comedies that you may like if you like this comedy, other movies featuring this pairing of actors. So in just one chapter, you could be pointed to up to another dozen movies that may be to your liking if you enjoyed the one that he discusses. A person who makes it through Mr. Walter's book would definitely have seen quite a few movies, 365. A person who makes it through Mr. Bogdanovich's book would have a much deeper understanding and appreciation of movies because of the structure in which he formats his book and his recommendations. Other Hollywood directors have set their thoughts to paper and have written about a myriad of topics throughout the years. In this book, Mr. Bogdanovich provides a very useful title for the average movie viewer. Our final book is A Year at the Movies, One Man's Film-Going Odyssey by Kevin Murphy. Fans may recognize Kevin Murphy's name as the man who portrays Tom Servo on the TV series Mystery Science Theater 3000. In this book, which is 15 years old, he decides that he's going to see a movie a day, similar to Mr. Walters. This book is the most whimsical of the three I'm discussing today, and this feels almost like a stream of consciousness odyssey of one man's movie year, albeit a man who watches a lot of movies. He sets up his chapters similar to Mr. Bogdanovich, a week at a time. At the beginning of each chapter, he has a listing, almost like on a theater marquee, that lists the movies that he's watched in the week in question, as well as where he actually watched them. Mr. Murphy watches the majority of his movies near to his home in Minneapolis. But he also manages to catch some movies on airline flights, as well as in Australia, the Cook Islands in the South Pacific, and in Italy. There is no thematic rhyme or reason about the movie selections that he has chosen from week to week. They are all over the map. During week 18, for example, he not only catches Blade Runner, but also The Mummy Returns, Spy Kids, and Freestyle. The stream of consciousness description comes in because it's not just talking about the movies in question that he watches, but also his experiences traveling, his experiences in the theater, various and sundry other thoughts that come to his mind, and on and on and on. He keeps the writing light, he keeps it humorous, you may learn a thing or two along the way, and you may find him discussing movies in a later chapter that he actually watched several chapters previously. It jumps around a bit. If you're a movie buff whose life revolves around seeing new movies, watching old favorites, you may want to take up the challenge of organizing your year around your movie-watching habits. If you choose to go that route, you might want to consider these three books as pointers, helpfully describing three different ways to do it. Join us again next month for another discussion on nonfiction. Until then, we'll see you at your Nordonia Hills Branch Library. Music by 20 Riverside, provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.